time.
Yeah.
Anyone showing up?
No.
Oh, there, Diane. Those, they're there. Joe should be coming, I would imagine.
Maybe, I don't know. Is there anything wrong with the song Rock of Ages?
No.
Did we, did they have an issue with that song? Was that?
No.
What song was it, the one that they had?
The
Huh?
The only one I know was the Old One
of Cross. Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Greetings, everyone. Just want to say welcome to all those who could make it here tonight and all those who are online along with us. And praise God. Why don't we begin with prayer and ask the Lord to be with us tonight, to lead, guide, and direct us. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, thank you now, Lord God, for what you're doing. Oh, Lord, we praise your holy name tonight. We thank you, Lord God, for the victory. Lord God, we praise your name because you've done so many good things for us. All that you have done, Lord, has been for the good of those who love you, Lord God. Your mercy and your grace, your long-suffering and your forbearance. Oh, Lord, who could fathom such matchless grace. We thank you for that, Lord, that gift. We thank you, Father God, now for leading, guiding, and directing every person here, all those that are listening to us online tonight, Lord. And I pray that you would be here tonight, that your presence would go forth, and oh Lord God, that you would sanctify our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live consecrated lives. That we would have a greater desire, Lord God, to come up higher, to draw closer unto Thee, to be led by the Holy Ghost, covered by the blood, set free. Oh, Lord God, be with us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, under the blood. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise God. I thought I had that song here, but I don't know what happened to it. So.
Rock of Ages.
Yeah.
81 or something.
Yeah, 81. That's right. Yeah, here we go. Praise God. If we could just go to a song. It's an old song, but so full of truth. It's called Rock of Ages, number 81 in the hymn book. And why don't we just start out there tonight? Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee, let the water and the blood from Thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. Oh, could tears for ever flow, could my sins no longer know, their sin could not atone, Thou must save in Thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown and behold Thee on Thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Praise God.
Praise
well,
Jesus.
I'm hoping that we could. There's a song here that we all know well. Again, in the chorus book, or I'm sorry, in the hymn book. It's 135. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, and well, we need to do that. The day is drawing ever so closely. And I know that the Lord's been working on me to trust Him even more. How about you?
Praise the Lord.
Because I know the Lord's coming, He's approaching, is very soon to be seen. It's right at the door. And people need to be ready. I say that because it usually gets dark right before the light of day. And people need to learn how to trust God in the tough times so that they will be ready when the Lord comes back to receive them. Because it's not going to get any easier for a while. But when the Lord comes back, all will be well.
Praise you.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
There's hope if you trust in Him. Let's go there. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith. Need the healing, cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I've learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Thank you, Lord. Praise God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise you, Jesus.
I want to encourage some dear friends of ours in Singapore, Chung and Sharon. If you're listening, this one's for you. And be encouraged to know and be strengthened as you go through that fiery trial in Singapore. Know that the Lord is with you even there. Wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
And don't forget to bring the Lord before you in the morning, noon, and evening. And whenever else you can, the Lord will be with you. And I say not only for Chung and Sharon, but for all those, our friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord, wherever you are, online or here, you can trust God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. It's not too hard. When you trust the Lord with your circumstances and difficulties in life, you'll soon find that somehow you felt like you've been carried through it. The burdens become a little bit lighter. You're able to bear things that you didn't think you could possibly a day or two prior to that. This life is not an easy one. That much I know. But I also know that it would be impossible were it not for the Lord Jesus Christ on our side. We can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord.
Those are words of faith that we should live by.
Oh, thank you, God.
Let's go to number 83 in the chorus book. From the rising of the sun. And be encouraged wherever you are. Trust God and praise His name. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Praise ye the Lord. Of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down thereof, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Give glory to God. Amen. Praise His name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord God. Oh, praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord God. We could go to number 76, reach out and touch the Lord. But before we go there, I want to encourage people again to not give up. I know that in this life, you're going to be sorely pressed in and pressed out. Pressures, always, it seems like, anymore. On your right, on your left. But yet, sometimes the Lord causes us to go through those dim, dark, gray areas in our life to feel how dark it can be. And then when He comes and He delivers us, He sets us free. We appreciate that deliverance all the more. And we appreciate the Lord God in heaven who is able to set us free in every circumstance in life. Things might seem mundane and dreary and weary for you. You might feel dry. You might feel uninspired. Oftentimes, that's the way it is. But you see, the Lord is encouraging us to reach out and touch Him and seek Him for a deeper walk. Because believe it or not, you can go a little deeper. Believe it or not, you can reach a little higher. There are so many things that we don't even know about yet. Areas that we've never been to that the Lord wants to take us to. No matter how old you are or how young you are, I can tell you this, the Lord's no respecter of people. But if you'll just reach out and desire to be that vessel that God can use, reach out by faith and don't stop reaching out. Don't give up. Because usually, as I said before, things get darkest, right before you come up over the hill, right before daylight, right before a brighter thing begins to happen in your life, where you have the victory. So don't give up. You can trust God.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. You will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He is passing by this moment, your need to supply. We reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, Lord God.
Praise you, Lord.
You know, if there's anything that anybody needs prayer about, I just want to encourage you to raise your hand, or if you're online, feel free to write to Sam. And if there's anything that you have an urgent need over, we'll be happy to give it over to the Lord and into prayer. But I know that the Lord, he can hear you and he will hear you. You've heard it so many times in this pulpit. It's almost a mantra, and I hate to use the word mantra even. But the Lord's not hard of hearing.
That's right.
And his arms are not short that he cannot deliver. And that is so true.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I just want to encourage people not to give up tonight. Find strength in the Lord and be faithful. Be faithful. Oh, I don't know. I would just say the only song that makes sense right now is to just sing in closing song services. 139, Unto Thee, O Lord, in the chorus book. You just go there and sing that now. You see, it's important that people understand that oftentimes, the Lord will lead and guide and direct things that are said up here for somebody who really needs to hear it. I don't know who that somebody is, but we hear time and time again, sooner or later, from someone, somewhere, how much they needed to hear a certain person. And not feel like, you know, I'm just repeating myself up here. Be mindful of that, because it's the Lord who is at work among all those that are out there. All I can do is try to be a vessel and do as I feel like I'm hearing, and to say those things as I feel the Lord leads. So, yeah.
Can I get prayer for my eyes? I had an eye appointment and I've got some diabetic eye damage in my eyes.
Okay.
I'd like prayer for healing for that.
Okay, Diane. If I could just repeat that then for those that are online, and if you could pray with us that we could pray for Diane's eyes. She has some damage in her eyes because of diabetic complications, and I just believe, and we could just come together and believe God together, that the Lord will do a work healing in Diane's eyes. I believe the Lord is well able to do it. So reach out by faith, will you, all those who are within listening and hearing, reach out with us as we all come together, if you will. to come in accord and one agreement is touching this thing here. Amen?
Praise you,
Lord. Heavenly Father, O Lord God in heaven.
O Lord Jesus, O Lord.
Lord, we know that you are the one true God, O Lord. There is no other God like unto thee anywhere.
Oh, praise you, God. Thank you.
And Lord, we give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Lord, because you can do all things, O Lord God, right, good, well, and true. And all that is mighty, O Lord God, is in your hands. All that is wonderful and pure, Lord, you created. Lord, all that is sound and perfect is yours to give. And so, Lord, right now, we pray now as we all come together in one agreement, one accord, is touching this thing here, Lord God, as we pray by faith, believing that Diane's eyes, oh Lord, would be healed, that you would begin to do a work in her eyes. O Lord God, the blood of Jesus covering them as we pray the prayer of faith, asking you, Lord, now to do a work. I pray that you would see that faith, O Lord God, that you would see that faith and hear it, honor it, Lord God, we pray, as we honor thee and seek to give you all the glory, praise, and the honor. We give you all the glory, praise, and the honor, Lord God, even now. And we praise your name and we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. By faith, we pray. In Jesus' name, under the blood. And Lord, we'd like to also, by the authority invested in us, by thine great name, O Lord, by the name of Jesus, and the Holy Ghost within, and the Lord God Almighty, we bind and rebuke that disease. We bind and rebuke that cloudiness. We bind and rebuke those complications from diabetes. Bind and rebuke it all in Jesus' name. It's got to go back. Got to go back to the pit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your answered prayer. We thank you, Father God, for what you do in the hearts and lives of all those that are around us, for your mercy, grace, and truth. Thank you, Jesus, for that touch that, Lord, only you can give. To that hand reaching out for yours, O Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, we pray in Jesus' name. As we pray the prayer of faith, believing. Believing for that miracle, for that answered prayer. Lord, for those eyes being healed. We thank you. And we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor now, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise God.
Praise you, Jesus.
You know, the Lord wants us to trust and not doubt in Him. To trust and not give way to doubt and unbelief.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Those two sisters who walked down the road winking at trouble. Looking for anything they can do to cause harm and heartache in the lives of people. We just have to bind and rebuke any and all doubt and unbelief in all our lives. That the Lord would work and do miracles. The Lord would have His way. Amen. Praise God. Well, perhaps we can sing one more song called Half Faith in God, number 39 in the chorus, if you want to just sing along with us, if you don't have it there online, or most people know it by heart, real easy, but profound. Have faith in God for deliverance. Amen.
God.
Up our tithes and offerings real quick and then hand the service over to Shirley. She comes up and praise God. These tithes, gifts, and offerings. Thank you, Lord God, for your ability, oh Lord God, to multiply and to bless. I thank you, Lord God, that you will bless the givers, Lord God. I pray now, Lord God, that your hand would be upon these tithes, gifts, and offerings. Use it for your glory, for your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray under the blood. Amen. Praise God. And Sister Shirley's going to make her way up now. And
you looking forward to a good message?
Amen. Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise God. These are your glasses.
Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Praise God. It's good to see everybody that's here. That's for sure. I wish there were more. I'll tell you what, I do. We have seats here. There's room for more in this place. But thank the Lord, God is here. He is here, and He's here to meet our needs and to do a work in our lives. And I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful for everybody online, those that will someday hear this message. I'm going to pray that the Lord would work here in our hearts, that He would move in our lives. Let's go before the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, oh, Lord, we stand here, Lord, thanking You, Lord, for the faith that You give us, Lord, and the fact that You are here, Lord, in Your people, dwelling among us, Lord. Oh, God, talking to our hearts. Oh, Lord, cleaning us and restoring us. Oh, God, reviving us. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God, for everything that you've done, Lord. Oh, God, here we stand. Without you, we can do nothing at all, Lord. Oh, God, we're just dust of the earth, oh, Lord, and in so need of you, Jesus. And I thank you, God, for what you've done, oh, Lord, that you would strive with us. Oh, God, that you would make a plan, that you would have a plan even from the foundation of the world. Oh, God, where you would come, Lord. Oh, God, the creator of the universe, putting on flesh, coming, oh, Lord, to save us, to restore us, to redeem us. Oh, God, to give us that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, thank you, God, for what you've done, Lord, and your mercy and your grace. Oh, Lord, let every devil be bound, every work of darkness, everything that would come against us, every doubt, every fear. Oh, God, everything that the adversary would try to put before us. God, we come against us, Lord, let there be no opposition. Oh, God, let your Spirit flow in our hearts. God, do the work. Oh, God, give us faith. Make us ready for that great and terrible day of the Lord, Lord. Make us ready to stand in your sight. God, seal us with that Holy Spirit of promise. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Oh, God, without you we can do nothing, Lord. And we stand before you, oh, God, in need of you. Oh, Lord, asking that you would loosen us, oh, Lord, from every bondage, every fear, every doubt. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to be able to lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Oh, God, help us to climb higher, Lord. Help us to get to those places with you, Lord. Oh, God, where we live above sin and live in victory. Oh, God, we love you, Lord. Be here, Jesus. Help us guide, direct. Oh, Lord, for we need you in Jesus' name by the power of the blood. Oh, God, we stand here. Oh, God, in need of thee, oh, Lord, asking you to give us ears to hear, eyes to see, a mind to perceive. Oh, God. Oh, God, that your Spirit would be here, oh, God, to anoint and, oh, to guide and lead. Oh, Lord, that, oh, Lord, your will would be accomplished in this. In Jesus' name, by the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I just started to get this message. I think it was Sunday night. And the Lord started giving me scriptures and gave me a title. And then it seemed like I was just, well, I was having a few doubts this morning. And I just prayed again and said, Lord, please show me. Please show me, God. And it was amazing because I had this chapter on my mind. I'd been thinking last night and before, you've got to read Ezekiel 37. You've got to read Ezekiel 37. And sure enough, I opened up my Bible and there it was, Ezekiel 37. All I could say is, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He is so good to us. He is our God and our Savior, and he knows how to help us. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know just a couple weeks ago, I went to Acts the 19th chapter and addressed, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And I got to quite a few scriptures in that message, but I knew there was more, and I just wasn't quite sure how the Lord would do it or when, but it just seems like I have, perhaps this is a sequence, but whatever, however the Lord does it, we're just going to ask him to talk to our hearts and help us. You know, we might always not see the need right here in the pew right here, but believe me, this is a subject that has been open to a lot of debate. There's been a lot of people who come against it. But here we are. If we've been filled with that Holy Spirit of promise, we are so blessed. Amen. We've got that wonderful ghost that was in the Lord Jesus Christ, that Holy Ghost that he gave up so that we might receive it. Praise the Lord. The title of this message is The Sound Thereof. The Sound Thereof, taken from John, the third chapter. But let's begin by going to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. The prophet Ezekiel was actually a priest. And here in this book that we are given by the anointing of God, he was among the captives that were led off from Babylon were taken away from Jerusalem when the Babylonians came in and took over. And of course, they had been admonished. Jeremiah had admonished them to go with them, and it would be well to build houses and dwell there and raise their families, and it would be well. And there also was a promise that they would return. 70 years were actually given, and that time that they would again return to Judea and Jerusalem. But Ezekiel was one of those that was taken away as a captive. And it's pretty amazing. Like I said, he was a priest. He was the son of Buzi. And he's about 30 years old when he began his ministry, which was the usual time when somebody in the ministry would begin. And he prophesied for at least 22 years, from what we can gather from the scripture here. But it's an amazing story, this book. And it's amazing how God used Ezekiel. It tells us in the third chapter of Ezekiel how the Spirit of God would come upon him. And he would stand to his feet. And then the Lord would give him words. And even in that chapter, he was going to be dumb until it was time to speak. The Lord was going to make his mouth dumb until it was time to bring forth the word. And then God would loosen his mouth and he was going to be able to speak. Kind of like Zechariah, the priest, the father of John the Baptist. And then there's other times. In the eighth chapter of Ezekiel, and that is such a chapter because the Lord showed Ezekiel so many things. And most of it was not easy to see, I'm sure. It must have been horrendous. But remember, he was one of the captives. He was in Babylon. He was settled in a place called Tel Abib. And in the eighth chapter of Ezekiel, the Lord carried him away. He took him by a lock of his hair and carried him away. And he could see all the abominations that were going on in the temple there at Jerusalem. And I mean, that is not an easy chapter. All those things that were going on where God should have been esteemed and appreciated and loved, and there should not have been idolatry, but horrendous things were going on there. And God showed these things to Ezekiel. He showed them all to him. And what a man, the Spirit of God would come upon him. And I just want to say something. In the time of old, the Spirit of God would come upon the prophets and they would prophesy. Let's just go once to 2 Peter here. And I just want to show you this in case it's not known to you, or maybe you just want to remember it. But 2 Peter, the first chapter, it tells us in the 20th verse here, as we end this chapter, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not given for one person to interpret it according to his feelings or emotions or background. It's not given that way. And then it tells us in verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't man saying, okay, now I'm going to prophesy. But it tells us, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, would move upon them and take control of them so that their words would be God's words and they would prophesy. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. And that was really a wonderful thing. But you know, there was coming a time when the Holy Ghost wouldn't just move God's people, his ministers, but there would be a time when God's Holy Ghost would come and dwell inside people, to be inside them. And I hope to cover that tonight as we study God's Word. When John the Baptist came into the scene, it started to usher in a new dispensation. The law and the prophets were until John. And then John began to bring forth the story of the new covenant. He was a foreteller. And of course, Jesus would come right behind the scene, just months after John the Baptist, to bring forth that new covenant, which would begin with the ministry of Jesus and then be fulfilled at Pentecost. So it was bringing in, it was ushering in a new period of time, a new dispensation. And so the law was preached until the time of that all. And Jesus was under the law, actually, but it was kind of an in-between time when the gospel was preached and Jesus was introducing the new covenant and all those wonderful things. He was foretelling of it. And it would be a wonderful opportunity for the children of God, that new covenant. Let's look also at 1 Peter, the first chapter here. because what happened at Pentecost, what came forth for God's children, was a great fulfillment in something that had been desired throughout time. Let's look at the 9th verse of this first chapter of 1 Peter. It says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto them, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Oh, praise the Lord. If you've received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you've received something that the prophets desired, something that the angels desired, something that they've looked into. They couldn't comprehend it back then. They prophesied of it. Oh, you see prophetic utterances all throughout the Old Testament. And, you know, the angels knew of it too, but it wasn't for them. It wasn't for that dispensation. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ came on the scene, and it was all unfolded. It began to become revealed. Little by little, the Lord Jesus unfolded it, and then he breathed on them before he ascended and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And you know what? It fell. It fell not many days after that, on the day of Pentecost. They received the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, that thing that the angels had desired. And those that prophesied, they couldn't quite comprehend what they were saying. They knew it was true and that it would come to pass, but they couldn't understand it because it was not yet for their time. That wonderful salvation that the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. But now going to Ezekiel 37, we're going to read of Ezekiel's prophetic utterances here as the Lord showed it to him. Things that he couldn't comprehend at the moment, but he knew sure enough that they would come to pass. And here it says, chapter 37, he talks about how the hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel. And it says, "He carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones." And this is quite a something. It says, "And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry." So here it is. It's the Lord showing him this valley, and I imagine it was fairly deep. I imagine it was big enough for sure, but it was completely filled with bones. Very many. It was completely filled with bones, human bones. And it says they were very dry. In other words, there was no sign of life in those bones at all. No sign at all. They were dry. They were dead. And then God asked Ezekiel a question. He said unto me, it says here, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I mean, I'm looking at bones. You see no hope of them living, do you? And here's Ezekiel's answer. "And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest." Oh, what a good answer, really. "Thou knowest, God." And then God gave him an assignment. He said in the 4th verse, again, he said unto me, "Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." He's going to speak to those bones. "Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." Oh my, what a prophetic utterance. We know that in the beginning, God made Adam out of the dust of the earth. And, you know, here he was, made in the image of God, that man. But there was no life in Adam until God breathed in him the breath of life. And then it tells us in Genesis, the 2nd chapter, that Adam became a living soul, that breath of life. It had to be. He was not alive until God breathed in him. But here are dead bones from people that once lived, but God's talking about something that was going to happen, where there was going to be breath breathed into those dead bones. Flesh was going to come upon them, sinews, and they were going to be covered with skin, and they were going to come alive. So Ezekiel prophesied in verse 7, as I was commanded, and I like what happened. As I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is gone, our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Here he was prophesying. Oh, those dead bones, it seems so impossible. And sometimes we look at individuals in this world and it doesn't seem like there's any spiritual life in them at all. It doesn't seem possible that there could be a change in them. But you know what? With God, all things are possible. To them that believe, God makes all things possible. And we don't know. We can't restrict God. We can't put guards on him. We can't say God can't do that. Amen. Because God has a will. He has a plan. And he can make things that look utterly impossible happen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I like how this happened. Oh, praise the Lord. And suddenly, as he was prophesying, there was a noise. There was a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And at first, no breath. Oh, my. Then prophesy again. Prophesy into the wind. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. And here's Ezekiel. He prophesied to the winds, and the breath came on them. Oh, my. And they stood up upon their feet, a great army. Oh, our Lord is able to raise up a people. He's able to raise up a people that will serve him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind, with all their strength, will love him above all else, putting him first. God is able to raise up an army, a people, a remnant, a people that will serve him and not regard the circumstances of this world and not be caught in the human mundane things that snare so many and hinder them and cause them to backslide and live below their means and to think on just earthly levels. Our God is able to do that. Praise the Lord. But that wonderful noise, that shaking, those bones coming together, remind me of the day of Pentecost. They remind me of the day of Pentecost. Oh, what a day that must have been. Jesus had told them to go to Jerusalem and be there until they were endued with power from on high. He told them not to leave until the Holy Ghost fell. And they didn't know what it was going to be like. They had no idea. But they knew what Jesus had said. He'd given them that commandment. And believe me, there were a faithful people that followed it. And I love it. It was a feast day of Pentecost. And there they were, approximately 120 gathered together there in that upper room there in the temple. And it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come here in Acts 2, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. Oh my, that word fire comes from the word lightning. And here it is, it sat upon them, and that rushing mighty wind that they could hear. And then all at once they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And it says they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, as the Holy Ghost came into their lives. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, praise the Lord, that was those dead bones coming alive, that noise and that great shaking and those bones coming together there in Ezekiel 37. And then the breath of the Lord breathing on them, receiving the Holy Ghost. And sure enough, the Holy Ghost came. Oh, that breath of the Lord came upon His children, and they began to speak with other tongues as that new life came upon them to change them, to make them more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens, to give them power over sin, to make them witnesses. That Holy Spirit of God, that Spirit that had been in Jesus, came upon those people in the upper room, those 120, that breath, all that Ezekiel prophesied about, that prophetic utterance being fulfilled when Jesus said, well, God said through the Scripture, and shall put my Spirit in you, and ye shall live. Oh my, it takes something more than just our natural flesh to live. It really takes something beyond that. We're not going to make it into heaven with just flesh and blood. We really aren't. It's going to take something happening on the inside before we can meet the Lord in peace and stand before Him and have boldness in the day of judgment. Let's now go to John, the 3rd chapter. And here we have this wonderful story unfolds. Here we have a ruler of the Jews coming to Jesus by night. His name was Nicodemus, and he had some inkling inside that Jesus was more than a man, I dare say. But he wasn't quite sure what to think, obviously. And, you know, they were a little bit afraid because most of the Jewish people of prestige, the scribes and the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin and all of them, did not regard Jesus as anything but a man. They didn't recognize him, and they didn't want to esteem him. They didn't want to consider that he could be the Messiah. So here we have this Nicodemus coming. He's a ruler of the Jews, and he's just a little fearful, I think, of the others. So he comes by night. And he asks, he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he's acknowledging that there's got to be some special qualities about Jesus Christ. It would be impossible for him to have done all those miracles except God was with him. And he had that insight. I thank God for that. But Jesus is going to try to take this man a little further. And in the 3rd verse, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is truly puzzled. In the 4th verse, he says, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus continues, verse 5, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he explains, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The Lord Jesus was trying to point out something to him. This flesh is not going to inherit eternal life. This flesh cannot enter heaven. There's got to be something that happens on the inside to change us. We've got to have something revolutionary happen to our person before we can enter heaven. You know, we can't even see the kingdom of God except we be born again, we are told here. And then in the 5th verse, we realize we can't even beyond see it, we can't enter it either. And then that statement again, you must be born again. Absolutely essential to be born again. You know, if you're born of the flesh, you're flesh. It's not going to be sufficient. but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Oh, praise the Lord. And Jesus was telling of a new birth, a man being born of water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God. Of course, it hadn't happened yet. Jesus had not yet been glorified and the Holy Ghost was not yet given, but he's foretelling of it here. And then that 8th verse explains, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And that's where I got my title for this message, the sound thereof. But it's telling us very clearly that everyone that is born of the Spirit of God, that there is going to be a sound that comes with that birth. There's going to be a sound, just as the wind, it blows, it goes where it wants to go, here or there. And you can't see the wind, but you can hear the sound of it. You can see the results of the wind. You can see the trees blowing because of the wind, but you don't literally see the wind. And here he's saying, so it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. There's going to be a sound that's connected to that new birth. When you're born of the water and of the Spirit, there's going to be a sound that's connected to it. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus that. Let's also go to the 14th chapter of John. Jesus, again, is talking here in that 14th chapter. And these chapters, these latter chapters, 14 and 15 and 16, are so significant because the Lord was telling his beloved disciples things that he wanted them to know before he would be crucified. And he's foretelling of the Holy Ghost in this 14th chapter. Let's just look at the 16th verse here in the 14th chapter of John. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye shall know him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, the Lord Jesus tried so hard to tell them of things that would be happening, and they really didn't get it. He would speak of how he was going to be crucified, he was going to be given over to the hands of sinful men, and they were going to take him and bring him before the judgment hall, and he was, you know, going to be betrayed, and all of these details. He would be lifted up, he had told them, meaning that he would be crucified, and they just didn't get it. It was too hard to understand at that moment. And I can understand that, frankly, actually. But Jesus is telling them here, he's telling, you know me now. The world doesn't know me. Those that haven't received me, they don't know me. And they can't know me either. But he said, you know me. For he said, I dwell with you. I'm right here with you in your midst. And then he said, I shall be in you. I shall be in you. It's something that was going to happen. In addition, he was going to be in his children. And then, of course, questions are asked. Judas, in verse 22, not Iscariot, saith unto him, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not into the world? And then in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. In other words, we're going to come and live inside you. We're going to make our dwelling place with you. He was foretelling of the Holy Ghost. Again, if you keep me, my words, if you love me, you're going to keep my words. And that Spirit of promise is going to come. That Spirit of God that's in me, it's going to come, Jesus was telling them, and we're going to make our abode with you. Oh, praise the Lord. And other things were also said regarding the Holy Ghost. It says in verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And verse 28, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I." And again, "And now I've told you before, it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe." And then he told them, "I will not talk much with you, for the prince of the world cometh and hath nothing in me." And that dark hour was coming. But he was telling them that he was going to fill them with the Holy Ghost, that there was going to be something. They couldn't understand it at that moment. And they would rejoice when they realized that he was going to pour out of his Spirit upon them. That 16th chapter of John also speaks of the Holy Ghost. The 7th verse in that chapter, Jesus said to them, as he was on his way to Gethsemane, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient," or in other words, "necessary for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." And that 13th verse tells us, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come." Oh my, it was absolutely necessary that Jesus go away. Otherwise, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, could not come. So it was all part of the plan of God, and Jesus was unfolding it. He was telling them these things. He was expedient that they know these things, and they wouldn't understand it yet. But that Spirit of truth would come, and it would guide them into all truth, and then they would understand what Jesus was trying to tell them. They would understand his word. And praise the Lord, we know that they were obedient to God, and that on that day of Pentecost, that prophetic utterance from Ezekiel, that breath of life, that Spirit of God came upon the 120 there in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, it must have been really a marvel, because it tells us, being that it was a Jewish feast day, that there were many that were gathered abroad there in Jerusalem at that moment. There were many, and the noise, the joy of this, the fulfillment of this, I mean, you know, it swept the place, that rushing mighty wind first, filling all the house where they were sitting, and then those cloven tongues like as a fire sitting upon each of them, and then all the infilling of the Holy Ghost as God began to dwell in them, and they began to speak forth with other tongues. And you know, we're told that at this time there were all manner of devout individuals in Jerusalem, out of every nation under heaven, were told there in Jerusalem for that feast day. And this was noised abroad. Yes, that Holy Ghost was filling their lives. And the multitude had come together, and they were all, it says they were confounded. In other words, they were amazed. They were confused even. They couldn't believe what they were hearing, because they were from all different parts of the world. But yet they could hear these that were filled with the Holy Ghost. Every one of them was speaking in his own language, their native tongues. They were speaking in their own language. And it says in verse 7, they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born?" They were all speaking in these various languages, Parthians and Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in the parts of Libya around Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. As the Holy Ghost was speaking through these men, they were uttering the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt. They didn't know what to think of it. What does this mean? They were asking. And some mocked, it tells us, thinking that these men were full of new wine. But we know that Peter stood up. He had been given the keys to the kingdom of God. And here he is on the day of Pentecost, standing up with the 11, lifting up his voice in verse 14, and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And then he uttered forth the prophecy that Joel, the prophet, had uttered in the second chapter of Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Oh my, they hadn't understood that prophetic utterance from Joel before this time. They couldn't have possibly have understood what was being said. Joel couldn't have known either what it would mean to have the Spirit of God poured out upon all flesh. And it would be for all. It would be for Jew and Greek. It would be for bond and free. It would be for male and female. There would be no distinction in the kingdom of God. That Spirit would be poured out upon all flesh. Regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of background. And it says, "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Oh, praise the Lord. "And your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And it was on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." Oh, praise the Lord. It was coming to pass. At this particular moment, all the words of Joel, the pouring out of God's Spirit upon all flesh. And what a wonderful moment it was. What a wonderful moment it was. It was for all that the Lord our God would call. And of course, we know that Peter proclaimed that it would be for all that were there assembled at that time, those that would believe at that moment. That promise of the gift of the Holy Ghost would be for those that were there, you and your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But praise the Lord, it happened. And Jesus, oh, many times had referred to that Holy Ghost. They hadn't understood it. But finally, when it was fulfilled, it made sense. And they had the joy of it. They had all the great experience right before them. But before that, the prophets could only inquire and ask and seek and search what manner that spirit that was within them was prophesying of. They didn't have that fulfillment of the gift of the Holy Ghost. At that moment, the Spirit of God would come upon them and they would prophesy, but it wasn't like it dwelt in them like it does when we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Of course, Jesus had foretold of it in Matthew, the 11th chapter, when he said, ending that chapter in verse 28, "Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Oh, Jesus was speaking of a rest that he would give to all them that would come unto him, those that were heavy, laden, that had burdens, that were in the midst of sin and conflict and didn't know what to do, that labored hard and struggling and not knowing whom to turn. But yet, if they would come unto Jesus with their burdens, with their cares, with their needs, he said, "I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He's talking about a rest. And you know, the prophets had talked about that rest often in the scripture before this time. Let's go to Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah spoke of that rest. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Jeremiah was talking about a restoration if they would return to the Lord and ask for the old path, the ways that were right, and the good way, and if they would be obedient and walk therein, there would be a rest for their souls. Let's also go to Isaiah. Let's go to the 14th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah also talked of that rest. If we look at the third verse here in Isaiah 14, we have that prophecy of a rest. "And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, from thy fear, and from thy hard bondage, wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, and say, How hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased? The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, Since thou art laid down, O feller is come up against us." There would be a time when the devil would be cast down, and he would not have that same ability to oppress the children of God. He would not have that same power. He would be cast out of heaven. That staff of the wicked would be broken. And that scepter, that continual stroke that the devil used to smite the people, would stop as far as the children of God are concerned. And all that continual process, there would be a rest from their labors, a rest that would come from the Lord, a rest from sorrow and from fear and from hard bondage, the things that captivate people when they serve the devil and are not freed in the Lord was going to give them a rest, and that was prophesied. And also, let's go to Isaiah 28. Well, first, let's go to Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 to start here. And I go to this verse quite often. Here's another utterance here by Isaiah in the 30th chapter in verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." And he would not. He was telling them how they would be restored, how they would come to God, how they would be saved. He says, in returning and rest. Returning means coming back. Repentance, turning to the right ways, the old ways, the right paths, the things that were proper in the sight of God, and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In other words, you would allow the Lord to work in your life. You would bring it to Him and let Him work in your life. He would be your strength. He would be your confidence. He would be your quietness. But, you know, people don't like that. It says in verse 16, "But ye said, No, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift." Man always wanting to do it his own way, not wanting to return and rest. But that doesn't bring you to God, does it, at all? God was providing a way. He was providing a way that they could come to Jesus Christ, they could find rest from their bondage, from their enslavement, from the sin. Sin is a trap. The wages of sin is death. Sin destroys us. Sin prevents us from entering heaven. There's no way we can enter heaven with sin in our life. There needed to be a plan. There needed to be a program. And God wasn't satisfied with the blood of bulls and goats. He wasn't satisfied with that. It wasn't possible for those sins, those blood offerings that were given to take away sin. It was just a temporary, momentary thing that they could do to find forgiveness for the past. But it didn't bring that redemption that they needed, that restoration, that rest from their works. But the Lord provided another way, and he was prophesying of it here in Isaiah. Of course, that 30th chapter goes on to say in the 21st verse, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is a way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. And it says, Ye shall defile also the coverings of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, Get thee hence. Oh my, when you really give your life to the Lord, you don't want anything to do with sin anymore. You don't want to live in it. You don't want, to be like that at all. You realize that there's a better way to walk. And you're going to hate that garment of sin. You're going to hate those images, those idols, those things that were once in your life. You're going to cast them off and say, Get thee away from me. I want nothing to do with that at all. You want to be part of the bride of Christ. And you want to hear the word that the Lord speaks unto you. Oh, it says, Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, the Lord Jesus was going to pour out of his Spirit so that we could be led by the Holy Ghost, so that the Holy Ghost could be in us, to lead us, to guide us into all truth, so that we would know the way, so we wouldn't have to be lost, so we wouldn't have to be wandering here and there and not knowing where to go and what to do. He was going to put his Spirit in us. And we wouldn't have to just, go to the prophets anymore to hear a word from the Lord. We wouldn't have to go just to the scribes or to the priest. He was going to put it in his people. It would be sons and daughters. It would be servants. It would be handmaidens. It wouldn't matter, what your status was in life. If the Lord filled you with the Holy Ghost, you wouldn't need those teachers to particularly tell you exactly what to do, but that Holy Ghost would be in you to lead and guide you into all truth so that you could hear him speaking within you, telling you, this is a way, walk ye in it, so you wouldn't be deceived, so you would know. And we are, if the Lord gives us pastors to preach, we are to listen to them, because it is the foolishness of preaching that brings us to salvation, but the Lord also puts his Spirit in us so that we can discern what is right and what is wrong, so that we can know the way and not be deceived. Praise the Lord. And then in Isaiah 28, that rest also unfolds through the prophetic utterances of Isaiah. And just let's look at these verses here. Verse 9 here in Isaiah 28. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. It was all going to unfold in God's timing. He was going to give it as it was intended in his own timing. But when the fullness of the time was come, God was going to send forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might become sons and daughters. But here it was, when all those things were fulfilled, because all the scripture had to be fulfilled, those precepts, one upon another, those lines, one upon another, here a little, there a little, when it was all fulfilled, that day of Pentecost came, and here the Lord is explaining, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. And he said, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Oh my, the Lord had offered and is offering such a wonderful gift, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 4 talks about how it is that we rest from our labors when we have the rest of the Holy Ghost. And it tells us in that book that we have to mind. Rather, it's possible that we could miss it. We need to labor to enter into that rest. And he talked about how the Israelites were also promised a rest, the rest of Canaan. But most of them didn't enter into Canaan. And they didn't even fulfill everything that was told them to do. So they didn't have total rest from their enemies in Canaan. But the Lord had another plan. There was going to be a fulfillment of Scripture, and he was offering a rest. And he tells us, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. I see that resistance in all these various scriptures, this resistance to God's plan, that rest, that beautiful rest that he was telling us of. You know, in Isaiah 30, you know, instead of wanting that returning in rest, they said, no, we will flee upon horses. We're going to get out of here. We're not going to be obedient. And here again, yet they would not hear. Why this tremendous resistance to God's perfect gift? You know, we see it all over. I know, in the 20th century, there was John Rice, who was, I believe, Baptist and denomination, and he had all these little pamphlets, these booklets that he would write, and he was very anti-speaking in tongues. He was very anti-it entirely, and great opposition. And it just seems like it's been that way, that people fight against it so often. You know, they don't want to believe that this is a plan of God, and that's the way that God would pour out of his Spirit upon all flesh. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he was unfolding the plan of salvation, clearly said, this is that which was spoken of the prophet Joel. In the last day, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. He was bringing that forth, that which had just happened. On the day of Pentecost was that outpouring, when the Spirit of God came upon them and they spake in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. But again, I do marvel at all the resistance in this world. So many people that don't want to receive it. And I know there's great confusion in this world. It's too bad there are phonies out there. I know there are movements that proclaim such a thing, and it's not genuine. It's not of God. It causes confusion. But you know, where there are counterfeits, there must be the real thing. There must be the genuine gift of God. And thank the Lord, I've seen the Lord pour it out. I've seen him come into the lives of people and change them and make them whole. I remember years ago, quite a few years ago, I heard of an event in St. Louis, Missouri, and perhaps you've heard of this before. It was in a church, an apostolic church in St. Louis, Missouri, and they had a deaf and dumb class there that would come, and they would sign to those people as the preaching was going on in the service. And I was told how it happened. Oh, it was perhaps one of their services in the evening, and all at once they could hear this commotion down there among the deaf and dumb people. These people didn't talk. They couldn't hear. But all at once, there was a great commotion down there in the deaf and dumb class. You know what had happened? God had poured out of His Spirit upon those people that normally didn't talk. They couldn't even hear. And they were speaking forth the wonderful praises of God. They were speaking clearly in a way that could be understood. God had poured out His Spirit upon the deaf and dumb people, and they were speaking in other tongues and prophesying as the Spirit of God came upon them. Oh my, don't tell me it's not real. Don't tell me that at all. I know when I was a girl, thank the Lord poured out His Spirit upon me. I was 8 years old, and I remember that first time. I wasn't quite sure just what had happened. I felt different. I knew the Lord had been there, but I wasn't quite sure. And the next Sunday, I remember just going back up there to pray there at the front of the church, the place we call the altar, and praying again. And you know what? All those tongues came forth again, and this time I knew what was happening. I knew I was speaking forth in tongues, and the Spirit of God had come into my life. And of course, that night I was also baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. But, you know, those doubts would sometimes come, and I would fight that, I remember, in those earlier days. And I would wonder, but you know what? I just always went back. I saw the Lord, and you know what? It would happen again. It would happen again. He would renew that Holy Ghost within me. Oh, praise the Lord, for with stammering tongues, stammering lips in another tongue will I speak unto this people, saying, this is a rest, wherein you may call the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing that they would not hear. Oh, praise the Lord, and I thank God. There's been other instances. I know Pastor Meyer, you know, when he was young and seeking the Lord, and the story, you perhaps all know how he came to the Lord and had been in the occult and a Lutheran besides, and didn't know what to think. And, you know, one Sunday he repented and then studied the Word of God, and the next Sunday he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. But he had not yet received the Holy Ghost, and he didn't know exactly why not. But he went into Appleton that week and found a little Bible, a small Bible. He thought he needed a small one to carry with him. And lo and behold, there was a marker in that Bible, and it was in Isaiah, the 47th chapter. And he opened it up there, and lo and behold, the scripture said, thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall come as stubble. The fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. And Pastor realized at that moment that he still had some things to get rid of in his life. And he was in his bedroom, and he looked up there, and on his shelf he had all these charts with astrology details and books and all that kind of thing that dealt with astrology. And he realized that in order for the Lord to fill him with the Holy Ghost, he was going to have to get rid of those things. Praise the Lord. You know, he was fought a bit with that. He threw them away, as I understand the story, and then, you know, the little boy said, hey, you didn't really need to do that. Go take them out of the garbage. But he didn't. And you know what? That night, the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. That next Sunday, the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost. He got rid of those things that were stumbling blocks in his life, those things that would have taken him back to the old path. He got rid of them. And sometimes people have things in their life that they need to get rid of. And praise the Lord, if you ask the Lord to show you, He really will. He will show you the things that come against that gift of the Holy Ghost that might prevent you from receiving it. But anyway, that Sunday night, the Holy Ghost came upon him, and he spoke in tongues. As the Spirit of God came into his life, But there was a certain woman there, Sister Whitman, and I had the privilege of knowing her too. And she was really a dear woman. And I know she just would say, because, you know, sometimes the Holy Ghost falls instantly with the laying on of hands, but sometimes you have to tarry for it a while. And they were tarrying for it on the day of Pentecost, the several days before it fell upon them. But, you know, they weren't discouraged. They knew it would happen. It had been promised. And they were obedient to the voice of God, and it would happen. And therefore, it will with us too. But this Sister Whitman, I believe the story was that she told Pastor that he should open his mouth wide and that the Lord would fill it. You know what? That scripture there in Psalms 81st, first chapter, the 10th verse, it says, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And praise the Lord. That's the sound of the new birth. When the Lord Jesus comes into our life and he takes our tongue, suddenly we have those stammery lips and another tongue. He begins to speak to us just as a baby when it comes into this world. There's a cry that goes forth when the baby is born. There's a cry. You know, a doctor, if the doctor is delivering a baby, he might spank that little one on the behind if there isn't a cry, because it's essential that there be a cry that comes forth. And that's the first birth. I mean, we all have to be born into this world, of course. But there is a need for a second birth, because that which is born of flesh is flesh. And Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. There is no way except there be a new birth, a change in your life. And of course, Jesus went on to explain to Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That sound that comes forth at that new birth, when you're born again of the water and of the Spirit, and we go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then that promise is upon us to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. That's the promise, that we will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But there's that sound that comes forth as we receive that Holy Spirit of promise. And thank God, it's still happening. It's happened around here. Not nearly enough. And I'm looking forward to new events unfolding. I thank God when Brother John came out here from Colorado, that the Lord filled him with the Holy Ghost right there in the water. I thank God a few years ago when Brother Tim came out here and was baptized in Jesus' name. The Holy Ghost came upon him in the water too, and he spake with tongues and glorified God. I remember that. You know what? Those are special moments. Those special moments. I remember, wow, when my girls received the Holy Ghost. That wonderful Passover service. And Diane, she received the Holy Ghost. And Vicky, oh, what wonderful joy when the Lord comes into our life. But praise the Lord, there's that sound that comes forth, just like those deaf and dumb people. Oh, wow, you could tell that they have the Holy Ghost. And it happened again. I happened to be able to go to St. Louis after a while and participate slightly with that. But you know what? In spite of all the counterfeits, in spite of all the lies of the devil, and, you know, people saying, well, you know, witches speak in tongues. I tell you what, there is a genuine gift of God, and it's for all his children. That glorious sound of a new birth when he enters into our heart, coming in to make us new. so that we can be born a second time, because it is so true that flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It cannot enter into it. If I get ready to close, let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Let's just look at verse 44 here, talking about our flesh. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. And praise the Lord, we're all born into this world that first Adam reigns in us. But we all need that new birth. We all need to be born again of the water and of the Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. We're not going to be able to stand before the Lord without that Spirit that was in Jesus dwelling in us. Looking again at that 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, Paul is saying, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. We have to be born again. There is no escape about that. There is no way around it. But thank the Lord, Jesus offered a way. He told his disciples, they don't know me, but you do. I dwell with you. But he said, I shall be in you. I shall be in you. And he talked about, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. But that Holy Ghost is going to come. And when he's come, he's going to lead you. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to show you things to come. And then he talks in that 14th chapter, if any man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, he comes to us. He comes to us to dwell, to live inside of us. And you know, we don't, you know, we don't have to say to, you know, our neighbor and to every man, his brother, know the Lord. Because, yes, it says in Jeremiah the 31st, we all will know the Lord. From the least of us to the greatest. We who are born again of the water and of the Spirit, we can know the Lord and we can hear that guiding voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right, when you turn to the left, oh, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful. He didn't leave us comfortless. But as he came on the day of Pentecost, oh, there was that noise, that rushing mighty wind from heaven that filled the house where they were sitting, and those cloven tongues that sat upon each of them. And then they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, as their life began to change, and they entered into that new birth as Jesus Christ came into their life, fulfilling the scriptures, the things that the prophets couldn't understand of old. Oh my, I'm with you now, he had told them, but I shall be in you. And praise the Lord, he comes into our life to change us, to make us whole, to give us victory over sin so that we can live above it. But there it is. There's that sound when he comes into our life. Oh my, have you been born again of the water and of the Spirit? Have you been born again? Praise the Lord, I ask that. Because in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. But so many would not. Oh my, let's give heed to the gospel. Let's look for those old paths. Wherein is the good way? Wherein we find rest for our soul. Oh, praise the Lord. This is a rest and this is a refreshing. Yet they would not. Praise the Lord. Let's yield to the Lord and give him our life. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. Oh, God, I pray, oh, God, that you'd quicken us, that you'd make us that living soul, Lord, that the quickening power of the Holy Ghost would come upon us, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd put it within the hearts of your people to seek you, to strive, oh, Lord, oh, God, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord. Oh, God, for you come. That's your promise, to come and dwell within us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, and we praise you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. The tongues follow as we believe. But what we are asking is we're asking that we would be filled with the Spirit of God, that he would come and dwell in us and be in us, that he would give us that quickening power so that one day we can be resurrected and stand in his sight and stand before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. With stammering lips and another tongue will he speak unto this people, saying, this is the rest wherein you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Thank you, Shirley. That was a wonderful message again. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. You always can feel the Spirit moving. About a certain time, you can start to feel the Spirit of God just sort of take over. Amen. Well, if the song that I was thinking about here, here we go. It's just a short chorus, and we all know it, of course. Number 81 in the chorus book, "The Wind Is Blowing Again," and if we could just sing that with your heart, and it's just a honorable song to the Holy Ghost, and let's just sing it with our hearts open to Him.
The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again. The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again.
One more time.
The wind is blowing again. Oh, the wind is blowing again. Just like the day of Pentecost, the wind is blowing again.
Praise God. Be dismissed unto prayer.
Thank you.